Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled. Superman, Batman and Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina, with their space monkey, Bleak. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman Show. They're from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back with Crisis Special number 4 and 5 because of this 5-episode event was broadcast over the course of 4 nights, over the course of 3 days, and then like a month, and then one day with the last 2 episodes. And I'm feeling the hype. I don't know about you guys, but I'm joined again by Mr. Lance Laster.
What's up?
And Miss Lauren Wynn.
Hey, hey, hey.
There's like a palpable hype, I think, for Crisis on Infinite Earths back in December.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was like 5-episode event. It was like, oh, it's going to be a crisis week, you know, because traditionally on the CW, when they do these crossovers, it was like back-to-back nights or 3 nights in a row or even like a 4-night event and all these things. And, you know, it's exciting. This is a 5-episode crossover. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crisis week on the CW. But that's not what they did. So they announced that it was going to be, you know, we're going to have 3 parts and then a break and then 2 more parts. I'm like, oh, okay, we're kind of split it in half. That makes sense. But then you had your 3 parts, and then you have your break, and you have the other 2 parts on the same night, and so much life has happened.
Yes.
Since part 3 of Crisis on Infinite Earths, you've had Christmas, New Year's, Star Wars.
Like an entire Star War happened in that month.
So, what do you guys think about? Lauren, let's start with you. Like, do you think they should have done it all in 1 week? Or based off what we got sitting here, I think we all agree we weren't as hyped up as we were a month ago.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you think that the hype would have like carried us through to perhaps be more excited about this finale of this epic crossover?
I definitely think they should have had the release closer together. There's a lot going on. Like you said, Christmas, New Year. We're in a new decade now. Star Wars. There's a lot of politics going on. There's a lot. It's a lot to focus on. You know, you naysayed this in the last episode, but like after watching this, I am convinced that they like every writer who works in DCCW saw an Avengers Endgame and then they had their roundtable like that night. They're like, all right, let's go. What can we use? What can we not use?
There's a lot. I mean, Lance and I watch it together, you know, as we try to do on these things. And we were like quoting Endgame to each other during it. Like, I see this as an absolute win. Stuff like that.
I am inevitable.
Yeah. So this was very, I mean, as it should be, it is as it quote unquote should be. It is CW's Endgame. But and so to your point, Lauren, you know, we talked about this before too. You were thinking, oh, they're trying to replicate the Infinity War and then Endgame gap perhaps with their break.
Yes. The other comparison, I don't know it well enough to quote things, but since we're talking about it, there is a death that happens when someone's like lying in dirt after they've committed like a crazy like feat of willpower. That was just like another parallel I saw. But yes, absolutely. I feel like they couldn't resist splitting it up, but to their detriment, because I don't care as much as I did a month ago. And you guys know I've been like super stoked about this for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Lance? What are your thoughts on the break?
Oh, I think the break hurt him. You know, hindsight, you know, is foresight.
2020.
Yeah.
It's 2020 now. Exactly. 2019 before. Da, da,
da. Oh, yeah, but one of my favorite song lyrics is hindsight is foresight that happens too late, right? So
Power?
Yeah, absolutely. It should have been all in 1 week, or at least like they should have showed this finale like, you know, a few days later on like, you know, you know, like on the weekend or something, instead of having us wait almost a month to see, you know, the finale after all this life has happened and after all these different things have happened. I mean, like, take out, like, the, you know, the major events that have gone on since, you know, part three of Crisis aside. It's just too much time.
Right.
And, like, you kind of lose all sense of your momentum that you had built up prior to that when you have such a long layoff.
Yeah, because one of the appeals of these was seeing, oh, we're going to see all these different familiar faces from other shows and all these multiverse crossovers. And there was none of that in these last two parts. Mm-hmm. Right?
Tyler Hoechlin's Superman... he had like one line, and then like the first
boys,
the two scenes, no, like the two first appearances he had, I was like, is he actually not in this? And they just CGI'd him, because like when they're all together, there's like a shot, there's a wide shot where like there's something about the render where like I don't think he's actually there, and then like he's like standing for one, and then he flies up, and I'm like, well, that's definitely a double. No, for a second, I was like, was he even in this episode? But then later there was actual footage.
So as you can tell, there's not a lot of hype before or after this from us. They screwed it up. All right. They screwed it up. Didn't like it. All right. Let's just get it out. They screwed it up. All right. So let's give you some context here. Right. So Crisis on Infinite Earths. Right. What they did with the reason it existed in 1985 and 86.
Yes.
Yeah, was it both years?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, the reason that it existed was because there was way too much convoluted continuity in the comic books, right? And they're like, we gotta fix this. We gotta eliminate all these crazy Earths and just bare it down to one Earth. And that was its purpose. It's a purging fire is inevitable, all right? To quote Ra's al Ghul from Batman Begins, played by the great Liam Neeson. So that's what happened, and all the Earths were wiped away, other than Earth One, which was the Earth from the mainline DC comics. But then, even then, they retroactively restructured a lot of the heroes' backgrounds. Like, Superman's the most famous one. You went from, like, having Superboy and all these Kryptonians to just the Man of Steel, John Byrne. You know, a very streamlined Superman story. And they did it with a lot of characters. But we had the Earth 2 Superman, and his Lois was still around, and so was Alexander Luthor for Earth 3. And they went off into a pocket universe. But at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths, there was one Earth. Okay. Makes sense that this event meant something. All right. And then, of course, now there's a multiverse. But at the time, there was one.
And there's a multiverse that has more than 52 Earths, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yes, in the comics and on the show, you know. And in the Arrowverse, right? But so this Arrowverse, it was confusing because it's like, hey, there's Earth Prime. And then Oliver comes in with the Spectre voiceover like, oh, and in the beginning there was one Earth. And then there was a lot of other Earths, too, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? That is cheap because... they wanted to have their cake and eat it too, because if that logic is sound, then Black Lightning and Supergirl should still be on their own Earth and not be on the Earth, you know, Prime.
Correct.
In my opinion. It's like, so why does Brandon Routh Superman still on Earth 96? And why is there Green Lantern, you know, Earth? And
it's because they're going to try and make that new movie or show.
Well, that's footage from the Green Lantern movie, actually.
I know that. So. I know that's what it's from. Oh. But they wouldn't use it unless they were
HBO
about
Max.
To do something.
Yes, very good. Yeah, because we saw Titans. We saw Doom Patrol. I thought Doom Patrol was on the same Earth as Titans. I guess not. Swamp Thing also on
same
his own
thing.
Earth.
Yeah.
I thought the DC Universe shows were all on the same. I guess not.
Guess not.
Well, it's funny because Titans and Doom Patrol, even though I did not watch all of Doom Patrol, you know, those characters, like, they have crossed over in their own shows before. So I don't know what happened over... internally at DC that they were like, nah, let's split them up. And I don't know if you guys heard about the Titans season one finale, but originally Doom Patrol was in it as well. Like, there was like a crossover within the original season one finale. So I don't know. It's interesting. The decisions they make, the cherry picking that is done.
Warner Brothers and their lack of planning strikes again.
This is a big meh for me.
Same. Yeah. Not feeling it. You know, and I'm the one who was like this entire time was like, hey, like after episode one, it's like, hey, we got four more episodes. Who knows what's going to happen? After episode two, it's like, we got three more hours. Who knows what's going to happen? After episode three, we got two more hours. Like, you know, and then after the, you know, the first half of this one, I was like, yeah, it's done.
Episode four was garbage. Like, I did not like it at all. I did not like it. It was very confusing, in my opinion, and I consider myself a smart TV watcher, and I was confused. Therefore, I can only conclude that the episode itself was not smart, because I know I am. Just a quick run-through, you know, where we left off, we have the people at the Vanishing Point and the mm-hmm. Paragons. Then we get Ryan Choi writing a novel, or I'm sorry, writing a novel, writing his journal entry to his wife who's dead. You know, and actually, at first I was like, oh, why? I don't care about this guy, whatever. But then, like, as he kept talking, I was like, okay, he's not so bad after all, I guess. Then we find out that they've been there for several months, which I'm like, oh, wow, I guess they had food there. Does time not pass? Oh, but wait, but he grew a beard, so time must have passed, right? So pick a lane, show about time travel and stuff, right? Barry was gone for 2 seconds, but he was really gone for months. They find out, you know, Oliver's the Spectre now because he's talking to Jim Corrigan, who came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. It's like literally popping out of a bush.
Wait, I'm Jim Corrigan. I'm the Spectre.
I'm exposition man. And then we see a bunch of clips from Arrow in black and white.
Yes.
Because...
clip show.
Yeah, it's a clip show. Much like the Smallville finale, it's a clip show. This is the penultimate episode of Arrow, right? Isn't there just one episode of Arrow left? I think
there's two.
I don't know.
Because the next episode is basically a pilot for
it's Zach's
Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Green Arrow and the Canaries. So we do all that. The plan of the Spectre, who is now Oliver, because Jim Corrigan's just not the Spectre anymore.
Yes.
Oliver's the Spectre. And I get he has a green hood, so it all ties together, right? But he sends Lex and Supergirl and Ryan Choi to the Monitor's planet, which is 10,000 years ago before he's going to do his experiment. I like the little prologue with him and his wife, and he doesn't have the mutton chops. That's how you know he's younger, I guess.
Oh, I was wondering. I was like, why does he look different?
So then they go to that planet, and Lex Luthor quickly double-crossed him, which I loved. He's like, I'm sick of this guy. And he shoots Choi, you know, shoots Supergirl. Then he gets the Monitor first, then he's talking to him like, oh, that's cool. But then Supergirl shows up, and they fight a little bit. And I did like Supergirl and Lex fighting because he enhanced himself with kind of some energy powers, I guess, from the Book of Destiny. But then Ryan Choi is the one that convinces the Monitor not to go back to the Dawn of Time to create the Anti-Monitor. But then the Anti-Monitor still exists because he says something about being inevitable.
Yes.
Did I miss something? Why does the Anti-Monitor still exist if he didn't? Did he still do it after they left? Because I did like... you know, Ryan Choi, he's like, hey, me being here is evidence enough that there's crazy stuff going on, which is good.
Yeah.
Like, actually, as much as I was kind of complaining about his presence, I thought they actually did an okay job with him. But again, the only reason he's here is to set up a new character when you have dozens of characters you could have used that exist.
You have an entire season. This was the first episode of Legends Season 5. You have an entire season to set him up.
Yeah. So they do that, and then the Anti-Matter attacks Barry and...
everybody else while he's in the Speed Force.
I was confused who they were with, like John, like Diggle? Oh no, the other Martian John is why I'm like, Martian John told us. Martian Manhunter and Oliver and
Sarah.
Barry and Sarah.
Yeah. And Batwoman.
And they all get scattered. And now because in Endgame, remember when we went to different time periods? You gotta do that.
Yes, that's what I was saying. It's like they finished watching Endgame and they're like, all right. What can we put inside of our script?
But it was done cheaply, too. It was like, oh, well, we're here, but we're not really here. Like, the cool thing about Endgame was they actually were there. Like, Tony Stark really did talk to his dad. And Captain America really did fight himself. And Loki got away. I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the Back to the Future 2 thing. You're inside the other events. And I really liked, you know, and I really liked, that reminded me of, I think it was called Flashback, right? The episode, the season 2 episode of The Flash. Where he goes back in time to a season 1 episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's
events.
Yeah, if you're going to have fun with time travel, do that. Mm-hmm. You know. But this was like, well, we're kind of here and kind of not, and here's Laurel from Earth 1, because remember we said she was going to be in Crisis?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. And here, I don't know.
The Batwoman one was the weirdest, because it's like, what does she have to do with any of these people? They kind of shoehorned it in.
She learned that even though people don't like you at first, they can like you. And you got to trust them.
I don't know if that was that an actual scene that happened in Arrow? Because if so,
I couldn't
remember.
I couldn't remember either.
If it happened five seasons ago.
Yeah.
5 or 6 years ago. And Oliver looks so different. He has like, he's parting his hair like a 90s businessman. And he's wearing a jacket I don't remember him ever wearing. And like, I couldn't remember if this was supposed to be a scene that had happened.
Yeah, like they're talking about Felicity and the Atom and Ray Palmer. And he just found out he's the vigilante or whatever the Arrow. And I'm like, this scene could have happened. I don't know.
Some version of that scene did happen where the two of them talked.
I'm sure Fum's version of that scene had him about 12 times over the course of that show. And then they go to the invasion crossover. Yeah, in the Hall of Justice. And then in Kara and Oliver talking. Was that a scene?
Yes.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah, it's sort of, right? And then so Barry shows up and has to get the pieces of Oliver are spread throughout the Speed Force. I don't know. I was confused. Was I the only one? Did you guys follow?
No, because he says it's tied to memories, like Barry's memories and his connections, but that it wasn't like actual things he experienced.
Yeah, he wasn't there when
Laurel was like reviving Sarah. Like he wasn't there for like a lot of stuff.
Sarah is my favorite episode of Arrow, season 3, episode 2.
Yes.
Because that Roy is the sidekick, and they have the cool Darth Maul fight with what's the archer's name where they fight in Palmer Tech. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
It's like a three-way bow fight.
That was pretty cool.
There were stakes because they killed Sarah, even though she was the best Bot Canary. Anyway, but this was a nice way to get Katie Cassidy in here because Earth 2 has just been erased, and we're not even going to talk about it or anything like that. All those people there, Harry, Jesse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
John Wesley Shipp's other character, the Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick.
I was thinking we'd see him at some point.
Same.
I understand scheduling and all this stuff, but I'm like, I don't know. Like they made choices that I didn't think they make, and they didn't make choices. They didn't make other choices. And not that what I thought they would or wouldn't do affects my opinion of it. I just thought it's odd that we've had these characters that we've invested for several years across the multiverse, and we don't see them at all. Like Harry, of all the people not to see. I'm like, I know we got Nash over here, but...
Right. And I'm sad because Harry's my favorite Wells, by the way.
Same. Well, I mean, my favorite good Wells. Reverse Flash is my favorite, you know.
He's not a Wells, though.
Is he?
I don't think so.
What is our identity? Let's discuss. So, but really, though, I did like the way it was shot. I like the depth of field and the, yeah.
It's crazy, because actually, if you go on my Twitter, probably at least once a month, I'll rip apart the cinematography on these shows. Because, and like, literally, last Crisis, I took various screen caps, and I, like, put just, like, I took 6 seconds and put a color curve on. It looked so much better. And they used a lot of the same footage. They didn't reshoot as much as I think they did. But so they took footage from last year, they repurposed it, and it looked so much better. It's like, see what can happen when you actually take some time to like work with the colors and stuff. Additionally, on one note, they've taken footage that was already there and they made it look good. Then they shot things that just looked so much better, which is interesting because one of the first things I said about the trailer for Crisis was that there was a bit that looked like it was from every post Christopher Columbus Harry Potter movie, basically where they're on the beginning of time, where it's the screen is just like 97% cyan and maybe I don't know 3% white. That looks horrible, but then you have all these other shots that looked gorgeous, and it was interesting because like I do think Arrow really has its voice with like the cinematography and the whole stylization of it. But
of all the shows, yes, yeah. Arrow is the one.
Which Batwoman is like coming up on it. I do appreciate some of the things they're doing, but I was just very interested to look at the visual inconsistencies of this episode, like the really good parts and then the really bad parts.
Like, why is the Speed Force in like cinematic ratio? And Nevermore show,
yeah, because the black bars come down.
Yeah, the black bars.
Oh my god.
And knowing what I knew, I was like, oh well, because he's gonna cross over with the DCEU, and let's talk about that. So Ezra Miller was in this. That would have been a big surprise.
It would have been
to a couple of us. Lance actually did. He was saved.
Yeah,
he didn't check his.
I didn't check my phone. Yeah.
So I was watching this on delayed. Lance came over and watched it a little late. So I'm not watching live. And then a friend, Mike DeMonte, friend of the show.
Yep.
doesn't say like a, oh wow.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see that? Oh no, it was literally a news article with a picture of Ezra Miller and the headline, Ezra Miller appears in Christ on Infinite Earths. I was like, what the hell, man? Not cool. Like, oh, sorry, bro. Thought you guys were watching it live. I'm like, I thought I would be safe with my phone just around because I was waiting for Lance to show up.
Yeah.
So.
And he texted me. He said,
not read the thread.
And I was just like, I'm ignoring that thread. So I haven't looked at it.
And you were spoiled as well.
Wait, Mark. Hold on. Is Mike DeMonte the punk rock writer guy?
Yes. That's right. Punk Rock and UFOs is
Punk Rock and UFOs.
Wherever books are sold.
Hi, Mike. Yeah. We're mutuals, but I don't actually know you. I'm judging you hardcore right now. I was ruined by a friend who I'm not going to name check, and I don't think she listens to this, but just know that this is the most disappointed I've ever been with you, like ever. Yeah, because the thing is once I finally saw it, I was like so angry that it was ruined for me that I didn't experience any of the joy that I would have experienced if I just saw it.
So, I just experienced the confusion of like, they're like, whoa, what's going on? I don't know, man. Yeah. Whoa. Like, that's what that scene was, right? Because it's like, this shouldn't be possible. And like, hey, I like your suit. Are you cosplay? I'm like, are you digging at each other's suit?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm like, who is digging at who here? Like, I don't know. Yes, it was cool to see an element of the DCU in this Arrowverse because that puts them into the fold, right?
Right.
And if you're going to have a character crossover through the multiverses, it should be the Flash.
Yeah.
But was he not calling himself the Flash yet? Because he was apparently like, the Flash. What's, oh, well. And I don't know. Like, it's clearly Ezra Miller was available. And they're like, oh, well, let's get you guys together for a day. And they hadn't really wrote anything.
Yeah.
Do you think that they were in the same room with each other?
I question that as well. I think
the look of it was very split screen looking to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's like they shot two Grant Gustins and like, all right, in case we don't get Ezra Miller, we can still use this scene. And it was Grant Gustin from like a different costume,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the original costume.
So okay, so that was cool, but nothing of substance. But it was, at least it was new footage, not archive footage. That was cool. I thought they might try tied in together with BVS, with him running through time, and maybe we'd see. Too soon! Too soon!
Yeah.
She's the key! But no.
Yeah. He was acting like such a bro. I was like, is this actually footage from something else? Like, it didn't.
Is this Joss Whedon's Flash, or is this Zack Snyder's Flash? Which Flash? Did he ask about brunch? Anyway. So that was, I give him credit, that was a cool surprise. I don't think anyone expected that. That was really cool.
I think that's probably the thing that Mark Guggenheim, that's probably the thing that he was talking about for like months. Well, because nothing else happened the last half of this.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so yeah, so let's look at, so highlights for me. John Cryer's Lex Luthor, save this thing. I love him as Lex. I was getting annoyed with the new Adam as well. Why are you here? Oh, because we're...
Because Brandon Routh is leaving Legends, and we need to fill that spot on Legends.
Yes. Again, the Arrowverse, they always do this. They fall victim to, like, setting up the other shows. And we're like, here are these characters just filling up our story. Like, you know, it's like Arrow did this. The Flash started to do this. You know, it was the backdoor pilots for the next shows and every show. I liked that he was questioning that he was there, because I agreed with him. I was like, why are you here? You know? I don't know. So I really did like.
They didn't even give him a suit. It's like, it's obvious what this guy's going to be, right? And like, he didn't even get like to put on like one of Palmer's suits.
I didn't,
like, come on.
Yeah. I guess I like the monitor's backstory.
Yeah. That the beginning of the episode was good. I liked some of what they were trying to do with like Barry, seeing all the past stuff from Arrow and like, you know, and Oliver's involvement.
I understand what they were trying, but I feel like they've done that so many times.
They have.
That's really the whole plot of the fourth one. And then they have a big beam battle at the beginning of time, and Oliver's like, my whole life has trained me for this. And he takes off his hood,
and they
wrestle, and you have failed this universe!
Yep.
I was like,
and then
oh,
he
yeah,
has,
do
like,
it.
Heat vision, and he splits a hole into the sky.
Blue beam in the sky! That is a faux pas. Like,
yeah.
The blue beam, I don't see one more damn
see,
blue beam
you are,
to
you
the
are,
sky.
You are docked a letter grade
yeah.
if there's a blue beam in the sky in your property. I'm sorry. There's too many of them.
So,
wait. Hold on. What about Man of Steel blue beam in the sky? Because I like that one.
I don't care if it's a white beam or the world engine or whatever. All right.
Hold on. I think we should sub rank this because there's blue beam in the sky and there's also blue beam in the sky gestating some sort of creature that's attacking the world. Like, creatures. Phantom, creature, aliens. Right? So
Suicide Squad has a blue beam to the sky.
Yep. Avengers.
Avengers. Right.
And
Fantastic
actually, both
Four.
Of those have like things mm-hmm. coming out of it, like or gestating yeah. things from it. So,
yeah, yeah. Armies and things. Yeah.
I will
yeah.
say, Man of Steel did not have creatures coming from their beam. At first, I was just like, "Is that like kind of like a unicorn horn sticking out of his head? Like, where is that power coming from?" And then like they panned, and I saw it was coming from his eyes, but it was very confused.
Well,
at first.
And they're like, "Look, the universe is starting." All right, I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
And then all the shadow demons are fighting everyone equally, be it you be a superhuman or in a supersuit or just
right.
a guy,
uh-huh.
you know? So that's, what are the stakes? You know, like, if one of these things or what, like three of them killed Oliver?
Correct.
And Dr. Choi is just there punching away.
To be fair, there was like thousands of them.
Yeah, but none of them hit them until
yeah,
he ran out of
true.
Arrows, which we saw in the previously on Arrow.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then like Oliver, and they have their big like, okay, Sarah and Barry being there with Oliver makes sense because they're, you know, the main characters of, it's like, you two have to carry on. Legends and The Flash has to carry on because
yeah.
Arrow's ending. So, and no, Oliver's daughter or kid, none of them are here.
Nope.
I thought for sure Kate McNamara would be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe she was in the credits. Was she not?
I think so.
I know I saw
so
her name.
So she
in the
was,
credits.
And so was the guy that plays William. He was there too.
Yeah, and so was Matt Aww. Ryan as Constantine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there are all these.
And two of the legends that weren't there either.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So. Yeah, that's how the fourth one ends. Oliver's mm-hmm. dead. He has this I am Iron Man moment, right?
essentially.
Mr. Stark. You have Pepper Potts, who is Sarah Lance in this situation, and you have
Barry is Peter Parker.
Yeah, Peter Parker. Mr. Queen. Anyway, yes. So that's the end of the fourth one. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, oh, but in the actual Crisis on Infinite Earths comic books, they feel like they defeat the Monitor at the beginning of time, and then he comes back at the very end too. Anti-Monitor, excuse me. Yeah. But to me, though, John Krasinski is their highlight. Always, and he's alive now, and he's well respected. That was great. So as bad as episode four, I feel was. Episode five started out really well with like a new Earth and Lex Luthor's like winning the Nobel Prize and Supergirl's like, what is this? Like, and that's the kind of stuff you want when the Earths combine. Because in the original Crisis, we had Earth 2 Superman show up to work, right?
Yeah.
And then Barry White's like, what are you doing to my desk? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, oh my God, right? The Earths are combined. What do we do? So
the intro to episode five was good. That felt like the intro to, that's what the, all the other crises, that's what they felt like in the beginning, where you felt like you had to pick up a bunch of pieces that were scattered. And it gave you momentum and made you excited to see what happened next. Oh, question. Was that Marv Wolfman, like, actually?
Yeah. That was really, actually, yeah, I really like that cameo. Make it off to Marv.
I was like, well, I recognize that name. I don't know if that's his face. I didn't know.
Yeah, one of the creators of Crisis on Infinite Earths, one of the main creative forces behind it. So that was great. See him. They mentioned other things like the Perez landing, right? George Perez. Another creative force behind Crisis on Infinite Earths. So I don't know. I didn't reread Crisis on Infinite Earths before this second half of the crossover. We also didn't finish those Smallville Season 11 comic specials, but we'll get those out in good time. we were going to finish those before the crisis, but now we'll get to them in due time. Yeah, I'm definitely going to reread Crisis on Infinite Earths now just to see how it compares. I mean, there's going to be certain, like, checkpoints, if you will, with the story.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be very comparable. I like that. I really liked Martian Manhunter, especially how pissed off he was in this.
Yes.
Like, especially at Nashville's.
Yeah, he finally started to actually be the Martian Manhunter.
Can we talk about this, the moment where he's, like, walking, like, not with any CGI on him, and then someone's like, oh, what's with the new look? He's like, new world. It's like, oh, okay, that's how we're going to explain this.
New world, new look.
There's lack of budget now.
I liked his costume though. Yeah, he looks better when he's Martian Manhunter.
I agree.
But Dave Harwood, he's cool.
Yes,
and I like him. I like that he had something to do because he didn't have crap to do in the last three episodes. Really,
last 3 years either.
Well, yeah. I mean, I felt I like, even if you know nothing about Supergirl as a show, like if you watch this and I tell you that's Martian Manhunter, you're like, oh, I can see that. The way he's communicating with people, the way he's using his powers, the mental stuff.
Yeah,
Just the way he's I really liked him, so he was a highlight as well. Brandon Ralph and pretty much all the legends were highlighted. Like, it was such a relief, to be like, oh, it's Bebo, right?
I have a question. What is a Bebo?
So Bebo is an action figure that the legends left back in time that the Vikings started to worship instead of something else. And then it became like a god.
Yes.
Like a Norse god. And then that's what they used to fight the evil demon voiced by John Noble from Fringe and Lord of the Rings at one of the season finales.
Yeah.
And it's, anyway,
Legends is wacky, and God bless them for being it, because they just go full tilt into the weird, which is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it was just really funny to see that they actually found a way to incorporate Bebo, because it's kind of, it's such an in-joke for that show, because it's so ridiculous. And it was just funny to have it, like, here in this crossover.
Like, there was a whole different vibe to the fifth episode.
Yes.
Which was great. It was refreshing after the fourth one. Even Wild Dogs like, are all the crossovers like this? Stuff like that. I love that. It's very meta, and I enjoyed that. I like Diggle and his reaction to Oliver's death. All this stuff with Diggle and Sarah and Barry and all this stuff in the fifth episode I really liked. I felt, because you watched those characters for several years, and I felt like the weight of what they were experiencing.
Yeah.
I like Heatwave. I love Heatwave. I love Mickey
Rebecca.
Mark. Rebecca. Like him being an author. Like, it's so great. Missed on my book signing.
Verbal.
So, when the anti-monitor started growing in size, did you hear like the voice of an angry Japanese woman in your head saying, make my monsters grow?
I did, 100%.
Yes.
Well, I was just thinking of Ant-Man, but...
Oh, no. Like, I was thinking about a space moon witch when they said we're going back 10,000 years. And I was like, oh man, after 10,000 years, I'm free.
It's time to conquer Earth.
Yep.
Yeah, so if all the heroes had gotten into a Megazord and fought the Anti-Monitor, because the Anti-Monitor in the comics, he's more like mechanical.
Yes.
Like, I don't know why they went the whole like Emperor Palpatine look for him here. Like, they should have gone the more like mechanical. The makeup would have taken a lot less time too. I think it took him like 8 hours, they said, to get into that stuff. So yeah, in the comics, he does get really big, and they fight and all that stuff. So that
So there's a precedent for it.
There is a precedent for it. Yes. I don't know. I was like, well, surely something else is going to be required, because they have had so many big fights with these shadow demons. It's like, you know, it's fighting stormtroopers at this point. It has no stakes, because you know they're not gonna get you unless you're Oliver Queen, who is played by Stephen Amell, who's leaving the Arrowverse contractually. Like, unless you're that guy, you're gonna be fine. These shadow demons, right? They're like, okay, Supergirl can fight them, but so can the second Adam.
Dr. Choi,
just by punching him, right? I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Also, I'm not a fan of whenever the supers just fly around using their heat vision. I'm like, that's not the most effective way to attack anything.
Correct.
Right. So there's no stakes. And they're like, oh, Geek Squad, go figure it out. And so they go figure out this shrinking thing. And then that was pretty cool. And Barry put it together. And he's like, do this. Like, oh, don't touch that. Like, that was cool. Because Barry's smart, too.
Yes.
People forget that.
He's supposed to be smart, but we've never actually seen his growth. Like, I think there was there's a season where he started reading a lot of books, but they never acknowledged his intelligence after that. But we know that he's supposed to create Gideon by
the original Data, right? Date.
Yes.
Yeah. Every season, I'm like, are you going to be smart finally? No. So like, he put that thing together, but he hasn't really demonstrated that he's smart.
The problem
is
the last time he was really, really smart was like his introduction on Arrow.
Well, also his title episode of The Flash with the Sherlock thing.
Oh yeah,
this tread mark, right? Yeah. See, but the problem is, it's like with Superman. If they make him too smart, he'd be completely unstoppable. So he's got to be like book smart, but not street smart, right? Because if he were street smart, then you would rule the Earth. With all his
good writers can do anything. Good writers,
right. Or bad writers can take away Peter Petrelli's powers. And you know, yeah. So that's like the finale of this. And okay, so nobody showed up. There was no On the Left moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Sadly.
I'm sorry, fans. I got you all hyped up. Like, oh, I'm sure Tom Woods is gonna show up. It's gonna be great.
It would have been cool. I mean, they took other things from Endgame. They didn't take that though.
I'm like, that's the one, because I thought, oh, to make this a real thing, because how many times have we seen our heroes from the Arrowverse, from the shows that we're watching, fight these shadow demons and win or get away or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, four times at this point, am I right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well surely that's not going to be the end.
Or like,
but it was.
At the very least, I thought there would have been a hero shot of every single person who's ever like been in, you know, DC, CW, then anyone that could have gone from any other production to appear in one shot, even if they rendered them in there. I thought we would have it.
Yeah, G-Stock footage and splice it in, absolutely.
Right, but like every single assemble moment we got only had like max 8 people. And like, that's how it was in all the trailers. And I was just like, oh, they're just saving.
Well, obviously they're not going to show Brandon Routh Superman coming back. Okay, I had for a second, I was like, oh, here they come. Because you heard Brandon Routh's voice say, wait up, Supergirl. And I thought, here it comes. Well, it's going to be Brandon Routh Superman. But no, it was the Adam. Well,
he used his Superman voice. Did you hear that?
Yes,
he did. And he used his Superman voice.
Why did
he
you
said,
do that
Superman.
To the show?
It's a tease.
And so you guys thought that too, right? You had that fraction of a second. Oh, here they come. And it's going to be Superman, and it's going to be, you know, the Huntress. I don't know anybody.
Guys,
like, for 5 minutes in front of a green screen. Okay, so great example here. Doctor Who's 50th anniversary. All right. I think I've mentioned this on and off, speculating about this. The 50th episode of 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, the only one I've ever seen. Okay. They just for the record, they have all the doctors, because there's 12 doctors at the time. The doctor, he regenerates. And so what they do is they're all converging on one point in time, and they're all in their little TARDIS, you know, the British phone booth, for those who are not familiar with the term TARDIS. And they're on these screens, and you cut the clips of them either like from other shows, like saying generic dialogue, like flipping a switch or whatever, or then they're on screens like the black and whites, like from the 60s, you know, the black and white episodes, like, oh, they're on the monitors. So they were all kind of there, you know. And I remember when we were speculating that there might be a CGI Christopher Reeve at some point or something. You know, I don't know. Just, you thought they'd Wonder Woman. Where's the Wonder Woman representation in this crisis? She couldn't even be the president. You know, they couldn't even have Linda Carter as the president. The woman who played the president. Mm-hmm. She's been in the Arrowverse.
Please note that they picked a woman for their president.
I recognize the actress, and I don't know.
I do
know
too,
who
and I don't
it
know
was.
Where I've seen her before. And I had an annoying
was it on Star Trek? There's no way to know. Okay.
And I had like an annoying local programming banner across the what do you call it? Like the graphics in the inside the episode themselves. They were covered up, so I couldn't see if it said President something. You know.
No, there was no proper name. No.
Yeah.
But no. I'm gonna try and look up this actress because it's bothering me because I know she had a familiar face. Then we have that Oliver voiceover, like, in the beginning there was an Earth, and then
where it
the
sounds
darkness.
Like he's doing like a documentary.
Right, well, but it mirrors, because I thought he was going to maybe be the new monitor, right? Or perhaps, but he's the Spectre, so I guess he does that kind of role. But is he dead? It was amusing. I mean, she sounded kind of hysterical, like talking nonsense, and I found that amusing when she was telling, like, Diggle, like, but maybe we can't just find him because he's in a different form. They didn't recognize him in that form. I'm like, Sarah, he's dead. Uh-huh. Okay, let's get over it.
Gone is gone.
They also mentioned Felicity, who is nowhere to be seen here. Yeah I thought perhaps, okay, in the Crisis on Infinite Earths comic, Superman from Earth 2 and Lois, his wife from Earth 2, and Alexander Luthor go into this pocket dimension. So I thought, oh, well, that's what they'll do with Oliver. Him and Felicity will go in this pocket dimension. But they didn't even do that. Like, no. You know, if I'm a Felicity Oliver fan, which like 75% of the audience of the Arrowverse seems to be, I'm very upset right now. Because like, Felicity didn't even show, they couldn't use stock footage of Felicity?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because like, I think we kind of all assumed that that's what was going to happen based on what happened last season in Arrow, was that that's what they're going to be doing. But then we don't even get any of that here. And it's like, dang, y'all.
Yeah, it was weird, because also, well, technically we still have another episode to see what they do with Felicity and Oliver. But I was thinking they would have their pocket dimension moment, or maybe, I don't know much about the Spectre, but it kind of reminded me of in Pirates of the Caribbean, how like Will has his duty at the end. I was like, is it going to be that sort of situation where like he operates as this being outside of time, and but he'll come back? You know,
I think anything would have been cool, and they gave us no explanations for anything.
Right,
like it's like, well, he's doing a voiceover. Like, so what does that mean? You know,
right? Like they did cool things this crossover. They had like Brandon Routh come back as Superman. They had like Ashley Scott as Huntress. But then ultimately, the way they dropped the ball was just like, wow, you really just did nothing with that, or you never followed up on that.
This was such a front heavy crossover.
Yes,
like you tell me Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I'm like, oh wow, we're going to see different Supermans and different Batmans and different continuities and all these Earths. That's great. And they gave that to us the first, you know, 2-3 episodes. They really did. And then this one was just like, oh yeah, this is the Arrowverse fighting the Anti-Monitor. Like the did Earth 90 get restored? Did Barry Allen come back? I mean, like,
yeah,
because it's not like, did he die like Black Widow and everybody else died like from the snap? Is that how it works?
Like, no closure on any of these things.
No. Yeah.
But we got Gleek the Super Monkey. The Super Friends theme.
Because we have a Hall of Justice that was established in, you know, previous Crisis episodes.
Invasion.
Right.
Did you ever watch Cartoon Network when you were a kid, Lauren? Super Friends.
We're looping.
Super Friends.
Didn't we have a conversation about this last time where I confused that for like Harvey Birdman or something?
Aquaman.
Oh.
Harvey Birdman.
Wonder Woman.
Attorney at Law.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, Captain Atom. No, Captain Planet. That's who I confused it with last time.
Captain
Planet. I said he looked like the Atom.
There was almost a Captain Planet moment.
Like, guys, we got to focus on love, on trust, on hope. I'm like, come on.
Earth.
When
fire.
Like, when the Spectre
wind,
Oliver is fighting the Anti-Monitor.
Heart.
And they're like, we just got to focus, guys. And they just like look up.
And they don't even
like
close their eyes. I was waiting
by
to close
your
their
concepts
eyes.
Combined, like, I am Captain Crossover.
As much as they were channeling the MCU, I thought they're all going to hold hands, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did too.
Style, you know, or do a dance off, bro. One of the two.
Something to show unity other than just like standing in the line.
Standing there, yeah.
And Lex Luthor was like, "Oh, that's what it feels like being a hero." Like, I wanted to see more of that because the monitor had told him, "You're going to be the hero you always longed to be."
Yeah.
He's like, "But I am the hero." Much more fascinating setup than payoff for all this stuff. Yeah, I wanted more representation of the multiverse in the final battle. Because what's the point of doing this whole...
Correct.
Like, it's fun to see all this stuff, but then they play no role whatsoever in the final confrontation.
And then they make time for weird things like the monkey from Wonder Twins.
Yes. The super monkey. Who gives it?
Yeah.
We got to call Best Control. Like, that's how we're going to end Crisis on Infinite Earths on some goofy reference.
But also, like, a goofy reference that, like, no one really gets.
Superman.
I wish Meanwhile, I could sing with you guys, but we are not in the same room.
So, you know, I don't know if we're being too negative.
I'm not sure how much your listeners will enjoy this, but maybe they'll find it cathartic if they agree with us. You just got me thinking on something about how front heavy it was. I just realized I think the best episode was the Batwoman episode, which is the newcomer. Oh,
absolutely.
It was
a small
that's
episode.
So interesting.
Absolutely.
Like that's the one that felt the like the most like what we were like,
wanted and were excited
and teased,
about. Yeah.
Yeah. So that said, you know, if you asked me like to list the things off the top of my head, I would say the Ezra Miller cameo was cool, and then the
that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then the shot of Brandon Routh as Superman, implied to be Christopher Reeve Superman.
The Christopher Reeve Superman.
He's wearing
yes.
the yellow
he does
again,
this whole,
and
oh,
it's,
yes,
it's,
the
it's
yellow's
the sweep.
Restored.
This he does like the sweep across the screen. He does like that sort of knowing, like little wink, and the
uh-huh. end of all the Christopher Reeve movies, and
the John Williams
returns.
Music,
Superman Returns, yeah.
which they
yeah.
weren't allowed to use that music until like originally they said they weren't allowed to use it, and then I think Mark Guggenheim like retweeted when someone was like, "Oh yeah," but they said they couldn't use it, and he's like, "Some like things have changed since then." So that was cool, but like after that, I have to think. I have to like systematically think about the rest of the two episodes to think like, "Oh, what did I like about this?"
Yeah,
and this is why I wanted to start out with asking, you know, if we felt like this break was an issue. Because I feel like had these all five been in a row, I'm like, all right, you know, we're carried along by the momentum of loving what happened 2 days ago, right? I'm like, oh my God, but, you know, did you see Brandon Routh fight Taylor Eklund? That was so cool, right? But this is like, yeah, I liked the fact that Lex Luthor was in this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's...
There is one thing that I did like. Baby Sarah's back!
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
I did like that.
But which son is that? Which son is
John,
it? Is it?
John Jr. That,
it's, well, I don't know. We don't know.
Oh, that's right, because he is a...
Because don't forget about Connor Hawk.
So we got the ending with the Diggles that I was saying this whole time we would get with the first John Wilson ship.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah. well, maybe we'll get the ending with Tom Welling. No, we got Diggle. I'm like, okay, good. I love Diggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that his family has been restored from Barry screwing up the timeline.
Yes.
Right? So apparently everyone who had one kid now has two.
Yes.
Because
there must be two. There must be two.
Oliver died twice. Because it's the Arrowverse. So we have to do everything twice. Okay, that's another thing, right? Oliver died. All the emotional beats are wrong in this whole crossover.
Right.
Because they kill Oliver in the first episode. So I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to stick.
And, mm-hmm. But they kill him, and then he spends like the next 2 minutes dying.
Yes.
Are we officially like saying things we don't like about this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The one thing I wanted from this entire thing was for Barry to somehow die. Like, just for a couple episodes. He should have died.
Well, it wasn't that Barry. It was the Earth 90 Barry.
You know what I'm talking about. Instead, I had to watch Barry do the thing he does where he sucks, where he just goes... The interesting thing about Barry is, like, you can't say that his writing isn't consistent, because it is, because he always does, like, a really impulsive, stupid thing where he doesn't consult other people. He just runs off and does what he thinks is best, and then it causes problems, and that's the first thing he did in the beginning of these episodes.
Well, but then he gets a pep talk, and someone tells him to run really fast, and all his problems are solved.
I know.
So.
Stock Flash. Last year, I was like, they better bring it. They didn't.
At this point, what is your guys' favorite crossover?
I'm going to say Crisis on Earth X. I feel like that's the one that had all four of them. Mm-hmm. So it's the biggest scope. Like we had, you mentioned the hero shot, Lauren. There's an all that, you know, everyone had a big hero shot. That one had the best hero shot, I think, with like all of them. And you got like, you know, Firestorm flying in and everybody.
What was last year?
Last year was Elseworlds, which was only three parts.
You know? Mm-hmm.
But Crisis on Earth X, like there were stakes. Dr. Stein died.
Yeah.
And I really like felt like the bomb to him and Jax, you know, mm-hmm. and also we had Reverse Flash was back as a villain, you know, and he's like the best villain in the Arrowverse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I we got to see alternate Supergirl and Oliver and, you know, anyway, that's been my favorite crossover. So what about you, Lance?
For me, honestly, the first one, Flash versus Arrow, like the what they did, those two episodes, like, you know, like the Flash Arrow episode and then the Arrow Flash episode way back in the day. I thought like how they melded the two shows and how the cast kind of, you know, got to see how the other half lived. And they came to realizations about like how they do their jobs and how they could each improve and what they could learn from the other group.
Right.
I thought that was really great.
What about you, Lauren?
Well, it's interesting because I think I agree that Crisis on Earth X is probably like the best executed one. However, I think I have to answer last year's crossover purely because it, even though you don't like the sack, it did set up the Superman and Lois show.
It's true. Oh, they did announce that the Superman and Lois is going straight to series.
I know. Like, lots of sleepless nights going on in the future.
You're excited about that, right, Lauren?
I am. I guess I'll do the podcast for it.
That's right. So, speaking of complaining about setting up other shows and your shows, Lauren, you're going to have a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what this has all been a long game. Yeah. Lauren is our Ryan Choi. She's been here to introduce her podcast. What's it going to be called?
Well, previously it was called Metropolis Podcast. I'm actually, I wish I had a scoop for you guys, but I don't. I'm not sure if I want to keep that name. What I jokingly said back when the show was announced, I was like, they should call it Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Super Fam. But the thing is, it's hard. There's a lot of words in there. Superman and Lois Lane. Superman and Lois Lane, the podcast. Superman and Lois Lane show podcast. There's a lot of things. For logistics, it's nice to have the show name in the podcast title to help with searching, but at the same time, it's like there's going to be a million different iterations of like pod, podcast, after show, all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, I know nothing at this point, but I think it's important to have a woman co-carrying dialogue about the show. So I'll do my best.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll be there for the next crossover. So I found out who the president was.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Aline Petty is the actress's name. And the reason she looks so familiar to me, and perhaps you Smallville fans,
oh God,
is because she played the unforgettable role of Jennifer Small, wife of Henry Small, in Smallville season 2, episode 12,
the
Insurgents.
Who told Lana to go away?
Yes,
yes, she is
the
woman
who told Lana to go away.
Told Lana that her husband was obsessing over her, and she needed to remove herself from their lives. And then Henry Small was like, "Well, I got to save my marriage, Lana, so we can never talk again."
You know what? Smallville gets the last laugh.
Smallville, the president of the United States. So that you wanted to know her name. It's Jennifer Small. That's the president of the, that's the president of the United States on Earth Prime. So that is the ultimate Smallville deep cut. So I stand corrected, Mark Guggenheim and Greg Berlanti. You got me. The most powerful person in the world is none other than Jennifer Small from Smallville.
Excellent.
Wow. I bet we're going to be breaking news.
We are.
Jennifer Small is the president on Earth Prime. That is great.
That's amazing.
So I look forward to her running against Lex Luthor in, I guess, 2022 is the next election.
Yeah.
On that Earth or whatever. Oh, boy.
It'll be really interesting to see what they do with Supergirl's Earth now. Lena was like going a little cray-cray in the Supergirl universe for a
Absolutely.
Bit. But it seems like they reset that.
Yeah.
Next week's going to be interesting. Is that, do all the shows come back next week?
They do.
Yeah, so Lex Luthor's her boss at the DEO. I mean, that sets a new status quo. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, Superman and Lois will exist in this Earth. So I guess, is Argo restored? Are they going to go back and live
there? They said that Argo was restored.
That's right. But
oh, my God. Wait, does that mean Erica Durance can come back as like a...
Yeah.
Can she come back? Okay.
So what I want to know is Earth 167 restored or...
Which one is that?
That's Smallville's Earth.
Sorry, that was a whole month ago. we
you don't
addressed
remember,
this the first time that I didn't know the numbers to begin with, let alone a month later.
You don't
later.
Remember Earth 167? Come on, step your game up.
What was that supposed to be? Someone's like birth year or something?
That was
or?
The because Alfred Goff and Miles Millar were born in 1967.
Okay.
Logically, that makes 167, right?
So. Logically, this show does nothing. Okay, well, how about this? How about this as an ending note? Okay, I know that you guys have different shows that you watch and don't watch, but what are you hoping to see following this? Like, things that you hope they address, things that you're looking forward to just happening just because the new universe sets it up.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to see any multiverse again. Outside of the current Arrowverse. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to see Brandon Routh or Tom Welling or any of those other Earths. You know, Ashley Scott. You know. I know. But I'm very interested to see what they do with Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's back and he's in good standing. So now he's kind of shifted to, you know, the humanitarian, you know, man of the people Lex Luthor, which is what I've always wanted to see in live action. So that's great. So I think there's a lot of limitless potential there. Hopefully they don't just immediately squander it. And then hopefully they dovetail that into the Superman and Lois show. So I'm looking forward to that. There are two episodes of Arrow left, one of which being a backdoor pilot for Green Arrow and the Canaries. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they stick the landing on the ending of Arrow. I assume we'll get some closure for Oliver Queen and Felicity and all those characters there.
Yeah, like that's so. Honestly, like the main thing that I'm looking forward to, and the main thing I want to see is a proper ending, you know, to Arrow and like that show with those characters. I want to see how that wraps up. And then after that, I want to see what the ramifications of on Oliver Queen no longer being around is on all the other shows. And then now that, you know, that we have this basically this Justice League kind of established, like how is that going to play going in the future, especially for people who have not really interacted with these with a lot of these characters all that much, like Black Lightning, for example.
I didn't know this Oliver. He seems like he's a good dude.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That was pretty funny where he's like, this, like, how does this happen? And then like everyone just kind of like makes a face.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be on there all the time, but like it's going to be referenced, and not, like that changes the world of not only, you know, Supergirl's universe, but Black Lightning's universe, Batwoman's universe.
Batwoman was always in the Arrowverse, though.
Okay,
I know it's confusing because they introduced her in Elseworlds, and I was like, wait,
yeah,
is she on Supergirl's Earth?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but anyway, but you know what I mean though, because like these people hardly ever interacted, you know, for some of them. So
I want to see Diggle as Green Lantern in the HBO Max show.
I don't.
Why not?
Because I want actual John Stewart.
That is John Stewart. He's John. Dad's name.
He's John Diggle.
John Stewart in an alternate Earth or something.
No.
He's Green Lantern on Earth 90.
No, I want an actual John Stewart, not Diggle.
How would you feel if they go with another Lantern, but David Ramsey appears as John Stewart?
Ah, there we go. Good question, Lauren.
I would like John Stewart to be the main, but I would also accept that. Because the thing is, they've set up for so long. Like we would love to see him as John Stewart, and of course he would love to play John Stewart.
If he wants to actually play John Stewart and be John Stewart, that's fine.
But you don't want him to be related to the Arrowverse.
Yes.
You want it to be like a Brandon Routh situation.
John Stewart from Earth 12.
Correct.
Just the way Brandon Routh is Superman from Earth 96.
Okay.
That, you know what? That's fine. If he's not from the Arrowverse, like Earth Prime, that's fine.
God, Earth Prime. That bothers me so much. We are Earth Prime. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. It's a whole thing, Infinite Crisis, the sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths, but Alexander Luthor is trying to find Earth Prime, and he's reaching out through the comic panels, and he's reaching towards you, the reader. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Gotcha.
But they misunderstand this. Because Star Trek 09 has like Prime and Kelvin timelines. They're like, oh, I guess that's what the wrong.
The thing is, that is the one, he's one of the characters where that would make sense because John Stewart is not a young guy. Like, it doesn't ruin it for me that he's been through all this stuff in the Arrowverse. And
he has a very similar background.
Yeah.
No, I get it. But there are other factors at play.
I get it.
With my answer for this.
Okay. I would love to see, do you know that one episode of like Arrow where I think Oliver has to convince someone that he's the Green Arrow, and then they're like, what's the proof? And then he's like, okay, hold up 5 seconds. And then you just hear like, you see a gust of wind and then the Flash appears and there's a piece of paper. It's like, he's legit.
I saw that. Yeah, I remember.
I don't remember when the heck that was, but I want to see more interaction like that.
Five, something like that.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I want to see more stuff, more casual, like crossing over of the shows now that they're on the same Earth. I know that that's a billing thing because they have to get more for every appearance. It's whatever, but I would love to see more evidence that these shows are related.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, how do they top this crossover? Because remember in Elseworlds?
How do they top this crossover? Yeah. Quite easily, I think.
There you go. That's the final word right there. Well, not in quality, but in scope. All right? We'll say it that way. Because remember at the end of Elseworlds, it's like, worlds will live, worlds will die, and nothing will be the same.
Yep.
Psycho Pirate, and you see coming next year, Christ on Infinite Earths, like, we were like, oh my God, it's happening. And now we're like, ugh, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
it's the difference of our feeling leaving these night and day.
Mm-hmm. I have one word for you. How they outdo themselves next year? Batman.
There you go.
Like, all literally, right. You could solve it. Like, whenever, if someone's going to be complaining about it being a step back, all they have to do to solve all that is, like, bring an actual Batman in.
Played by Jensen Ackles.
That would be, I'm on board for that. I mean, it's, and you perfect. Know, it's funny because today it was announced that what's his face, Jared Padalecki, is like Walker, Texas Ranger, which what universe do we live in? That's Walker, Texas Ranger is on the CW. Two, it's played by Jared Padalecki.
My God.
So Chuck Norris going to be his dad in it, I hope.
I don't know. But like the point is like, these people, they are quite cushy at the CW. So also Jensen Ackles, I think, would love to play Bruce Wayne.
He's always cosplaying as Jason Todd. He's been the voice of Jason Todd in Batman on the Red Hood, which is one of the best animated movies. Mm-hmm. He's a huge fan of all the material.
Did he cosplay as Batman this year?
Yes, he has.
Not just Jason Todd, but Batman.
He's a perfect choice. And he's around, and then it's more like, hey, Jason Teague.
Yeah.
So it's another
His wife, who's also an actress, she could be Julie Madison.
Perfect.
She kind of looks like her anyway.
Just perfect. Jensen Ackles is Batman. I think that's how we top next year's.
You're welcome, CW. We just fixed literally everything for you. We killed all your naysayers an entire year early.
And then Mark Hamill is the Joker. All right, well, Crisis on Infinite Earths. I know I'm excited about the next crossover. What about you guys? Thanks for taking the time to talk to us about it on this post-game show. Hey, guys, the president, Jennifer Small, right? Is that right? Jennifer Small.
It's amazing.
So we win it in. But divisive. I know it was very divisive what they did with Smallville, but I loved it. I really did. So I'm not Mr. Drink the Kool-Aid guy, and I love that. But I did not love the overall package here. That's ultimately where I fall. Yeah. Like, it was cool to see Brandon Routh.
Yeah, it was like there were aspects that were really cool, and there were aspects that I love seeing, but the whole package overall.
Are we to assume that his Earth was not terrible anymore? The Joker didn't kill everyone because he's wearing the yellow S instead of the black?
Or either that, or he's regained his faith and hope in humanity.
How? Not from the experiences here, because no one remembers anything that happened.
I have no idea, man.
It was all a dream.
He used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and Pepper had an heavy D up in the limousine.
What is that?
Biggie Smalls, man.
And to your point earlier, Lauren, when they go sit down at this table, like, nobody says anything. Like, I don't know. It's like, I thought I would like Superman to say something, right?
I think he said that this was cool.
Well, what a memorable line.
I know, right?
Like, throughout the entire, like Sarah Lance, and I like Sarah Lance, okay? But like
she's
the speaker for all the superheroes talking to the Anti-Monitor. I'm like, can Superman say something? Like, he's the guy in the back.
This show would benefit from treating every episode like the Batwoman episode, where it's like, it doesn't matter which show we're on. We're not going to go out of our way to bring in the supporting cast. We're just going to use this time. Like, we're going to use the same crew, and maybe we'll make it look a certain way, but we're just going to make this, like, we're just going to do the best that we can do with 43 minutes.
Of course. Well, of course, that's a great point. Of course, that's why she did it, because it's Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah. I didn't even think about it. Because I was thinking, because the last episode certainly wasn't an Arrow episode. It was more like a Flash episode. They spent half the time in the Speed Force. So, you know, all jokes aside, though, it's been fun to be so plugged into all this with y'all, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's therapy, being able to talk about it right away.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you guys don't hate this episode. Right. Please let us know. Comment on our social media. Let us know what you thought. I'm very curious to see if you feel satisfied, because we have a huge swath of listeners who are just like Smallville fans, and they occasionally dabble in the Arrowverse. And we have a big swath of listeners as well who love the Arrowverse, and they love Smallville and then equally. And I'd be very curious to see if you feel satisfied. Like, I don't know, as old school fans like ourselves, like I don't know how our opinions are really going to change from like Die Hard, like, oh yeah, Arrow was my first superhero show, and I feel like the character of Oliver Queen has been honored and put a close, they might have a totally different opinion.
It's true.
People with that point of view. But knowing that the Arrow series finale is coming up, it's, that's the real close to the character. So I'd be interested to see how it plays out. So there you have it. So ultimately, am I happy that this existed? Yes. Now we have a Crisis on Infinite Earths in live action. Did it live up to my expectations? No. Did I hype it too much for myself? Possibly. But am I pleased with the Smallville representation? I like what they did, but I wanted more. That is my rundown of my analysis of this crossover event. So,
fair.
The beauty of this being TV is I think in a few years we'll be like, oh yeah, remember when they did that? That was kind of cool. But I don't think it's weird. We did hype it up a lot. Like, it's very fresh in our minds right now. I think in several years, when we're still diehard DC fans, because this is our lifestyle, we'll just be like, oh yeah, that was kind of cool when they did that. But I'm sure there's going to be something that's like much better in a few years, where like, and it's going to be better to the point where we won't have to feel as betrayed by this as we do currently.
Yeah.
I think this could benefit from a fan edit.
Oh, challenge accepted. Yeah. So, oh boy. Hey, we already know I'm going to cut in the scene. I'm going to cut in the scene from episode season 9, episode 9, Pandora from Smallville.
Okay.
Where they're shooting the Shadow Demons and there's red skies. Yeah. And it's perfect. It fits right in. I tricked so many people.
You did.
I wonder how short do you think you could get it? Because actually, when you take out all the things that service the individual shows, you could probably get this really short.
Yeah. I mean, I would drop pretty much all of episode 4. I mean, it's useless. Like, it's an obstacle to get to episode 5, I think. They could have combined these somehow.
Because episode 2 did basically all the groundwork.
Yeah, the more you fight the Shadow Demons and it's just to a stalemate, is the less the stakes, the lower the stakes feel. Yeah.
80 to 100 minutes, probably. Easily.
80 to 100. That's it's quite a lot of minutes. So, yeah, maybe I'll try it. I mean, I just don't care enough to. I think that's...
If any listeners go ahead and do that, like, I think I would be interested to see it, to see what you guys
I think I'd rather re-edit Smallville first, and then I'll get to this. So, I will take the scene from this and put it at the end of Smallville, though, because I feel that very satisfactory. And you'd be like, why is that random guy from 2.5 Men here with a beard fighting Clark? Like, you'll never know. Clark doesn't care, neither should you.
Man.
So, that being said, guys, thank you so much, Lance and Lauren, for joining me on this wrap-up show, breaking news show that's going to come out in the wee hours of the morning. If people want to find you out there, Lance, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on my social medias.
And on our Always Holding the Smallville Patreon.
I'm there, too.
Lance is there more often than most. We're giving commentaries. We're doing discussions. We're going to talk about the great cinematic masterpiece, which is Joker, nominated for 11 Academy Awards. So Lance and I are very excited to do our commentary on that film.
You are. I'm not.
Oh, I'm very excited to discuss it with you. This is going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll save it for when we have our commentary.
That's right. You got to pay to listen to that talk, listeners. Right? You got to pay for that show. Ain't giving that out for free. So, Lauren, where can people find you?
You guys can find me at Lauren Nakawin, just about anywhere on social media. Come say hey, talk to me about Lois Lane and general Superman things.
Don't forget your spinoff show.
Which does not have a title right now.
There you go. There you go. We're setting it up just as well as the Arrowverse sets up their spinoffs. So
perfect.
All right. Well, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. You can find the podcast at Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold the Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. That's going to do it for the Christ on Infinite Earths. I wish I could tease next year's crossover with as much enthusiasm as I did last year, but I can't because I'm not enthused and they didn't tease anything. But hey, Superman and Lois. You know, we can see Lois and Clark on TV. Hopefully Lex Luthor. Maybe Perry White and Jimmy Olsen. I don't know. But they have two sons now. We're going to see that.
Zach, would you like to place a bottom dollar bet on Batman next year?
Yeah. Did I lose all my dollars? What did I bet my bottom dollar on? Was it Tom Welling showing up?
It might have been. I will give you that dollar back next year if Batman doesn't appear.
Double or nothing. Jensen Ackles will be Batman on next year's No Man's Land. All right. Well, we are back to our regularly scheduled Smallville coverage. It's been a long time coming. We're actually, our next episode, I got it all figured out.
Okay.
Shifting the schedule around, waiting for Crisis to finish.
Okay.
We're going to have season 11 comic books sprinkled in. As we go, as we finish off our last three, our 9-part, 8-part series. We did the math wrong. And also, we'll be having our level 33.1 episode next. And then we'll get down to our episode on Fanatic, which Lauren is a guest on, so stay tuned for that. And then we're going to have our episode on the one after that, which is Lockdown. I always get these confused. And then we're going to have our 100th episode, Reckoning, with Trisha Innes from Sci-Fi Wired and Sci-Fi Fangirls. In their 101st episode, Vengeance, we're going to have Craig Byrne for Krypton Site and KSite TV. We're going to talk about the follow-up to Reckoning, the 101st episode. Some people like it better than Reckoning. We'll see. I did at the time, but now I like Reckoning a lot because we covered it on the Patreon, so we shall see. So that's your forecast for Always Slow on the Smallville. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed the journey here on the Crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm going to go have my own personal crisis about how disappointed I am with this. And no, we didn't see Tom Welling in Superman costume, but I still liked the Smallville appearance here. So there you have it. All right, well, until then, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Dallas Hernandez, Cavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Jim Thomas, Joe Makendo, Steve Rogers, Thomas Navin, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Mariotti Sachi, Alana Gibbs, Casey Cochran, Andrew Parker, Catherine Emmerich, James Lee, James Bandini II, Adam Sullins, Corey Moore, Dylan D'Antonio, Kathleen Holland, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Rachel Miller, Will Hunt, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Deinberg, Fress Horshey, Lonnie Williamson, and Dave Giannoccio. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there!